say hello to a new friend on an old road. Take a two-lane trip of memories into mysteries unknown. Come along for the ride. Jim Hinckley's America. Jim Hinckley's America.
Hey, good morning, everyone. It is 77 delightful degrees here at the studios of Jim Hinckley's America in Kingman, Arizona. It's going to be a hot one today. I'm always get a kick out of the weather reports this time of year. That was a little bit of music from Joe and Woody and the boys, the Road Crew, roadcrew66.com. Great road trip inspiring music is their specialty. You know, we were talking about the weather forecast. They always come up with things like it's excessively warm or things of that nature. It's called summer in the Southwest. Still, it's going to be about 105 here in Kingman today, which is perfect temperature to go downtown and try out new Scoops on 66 between 2nd and 3rd Street, downtown Kingman, along Route 66. Tim and Lenore have been tenacious, and they finally got it open. This is in a 1930s cafe that has been closed for decades. It's great to see this come to life. It's part one of a three-part project that they've got going. And speaking of the road crew and road trips, well, that's kind of what we're going to talk about today, but we're going to kind of blend the past and a little bit of the present, maybe the future. We have our old friends with us, Mike and Jessica, this morning from the Historic Electric Vehicle Foundation. Hey, folks, how are you doing? You're in Gallup this morning?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
I hope you can hear us. Lovely little Gallup.
You were breaking up for a second.
Yeah, I've been dealing with power outages this morning, all kinds of fun things.
Oh,
so how's things in Gallup?
Well, surprisingly calm for a Saturday night last night. We tried to get dinner and kept striking out because it was after 9 p.m.
I think the town goes to bed somewhere around 9:15.
You know, that's one of the challenges with small town America. I run into that problem a lot when I stay like in Shamrock, Texas, or McLean, Texas, for that matter.
Yeah, that's true.
So yeah, you folks, go ahead, Mike.
Oh, I was going to say, when we travel, we pack so much stuff into the day that a lot of times we get to our hotel maybe 7 or 8 o'clock at night. And then dinner is hard to find because most places have already closed.
Yeah. Judy and I travel with a picnic basket, among other things. So you made another trip with a Tesla.
Yeah.
Another great Route 66 trip with a Tesla. I noticed there in Oklahoma, I think it was Oklahoma, you were trying out the off-road capabilities of the Tesla. How did that work out?
Well, it was still a road. It was just a very wet road.
And very dirty wet road. So it was kind of squishy mud.
Yeah, it was that clay-like stuff. We went through a few good puddles, and then about the fourth one we got to, it's like, this one's a little worse. We could still do it okay. But then I look down the road, and I see what it looks like about 100 feet of just water. No road left. So we decided to turn around at that point.
Had to make one of those 17-point U-turns.
I know that Tesla, and especially with my association with you folks, have shown me that Teslas are very capable vehicles. But I don't think I've heard much about their amphibious qualities.
Yeah. You know, I have seen a couple of videos where they're full on like 2 feet deep water. They're more floating and the wheels are just kind of acting as propellers to get them through the water. But I don't want to put my car through that. I have to drive that car every day to work.
Yeah. You know, you have to take that into consideration when it's your primary vehicle. You can't be as abusive as you would otherwise, or if you have the money to buy several other vehicles. So how was you went to the AAA Route 66 Road Fest in Tulsa? Man, that looked like a great event. Pretty well received. Pretty well attended.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. There were quite a lot of people there. The venue, the Expo Center in Tulsa, was absolutely huge. Thankfully, the power got back on there before the event started. They were still mopping up for a couple of days in the rest of the town, but you know it worked itself out as the Road Fest went on. But it was all indoors, so we got out of the heat and humidity, including the car show. It was great that the car show was indoors for all the folks with their classic cars.
Well, you know, Wade Bray, one of the fellows, primary organizers behind this, the head cat wrangler, I guess you would call him. He's got big plans for the next couple of years with that Road Fest, including some centennial stuff that he's working on. So that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it is. They want to move it from town to, you know, to different cities. And we'd love to have them in California one of those times, too.
I have talked to him a little bit about that somewhere in the L.A. area. One of the problems, of course, is the expense of venues becomes an issue. And this event, he requires about 60,000 square feet minimum to put this together in its entirety. And it's tough to find a venue of that size.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, the part of the festival is kind of a museum exhibit of Route 66 and transportation over the decades. It takes up a lot of space and it's really, really cool. You know, plus you've got vendors, you've got Route 66 associations, you know, nonprofit kind of areas, tourism organizations. And there was a mini golf and a bunch of other kids activities. So there's a lot to pack in there. And yeah, they need a ton of space.
Yeah, it looked like a great event. We managed to pull off getting some Kingman representation. Tim Webb, who has Tin Can Music, was there. And he graciously offered to promote our downtown historic district walking tour. We were very, very pleased by that. Were you the only representative on the electric vehicle contingent, or did you have company?
I think it was just us.
Well, we kind of had company in the form of the Oklahoma City Power Company. They had a booth right next to us. They did have a Leaf, a Nissan Leaf, that they were showing off. But considering the power was still out for many Tulsans, they probably were not as well received as they would have liked.
Yeah, they did say they had a lot of people thanking them for the work that they were putting in to get everybody back up, though.
Well, that's
so
good.
So yeah, they were there. So I kind of forgot about that. They were in a Leaf next to us. We were the only ones that were like EV travelers.
Well, you were also representing the Historic Electric Vehicle Foundation. Is that correct? Or
I didn't have a lot of information to give out for the HEVF. I asked for some, you know, promotional stuff, but they're still working on current stuff. So
right,
I wasn't
right.
able to do very much on that end without materials to give out to folks.
Yes.
So we had our table was kind of half California Route 66 Association and half Route 66 EV Association and Electric Route 66. All informational. We let the Texas and Oklahoma associations on either side of us overshadow us with a plethora of information since they're so closer and they had easy guides to sell and pins and other stuff that folks could buy from them to support them. But we were just informational.
We did spend a lot of time, though, speaking with a lot of people It was really actually quite great. There were a lot of people that we talked to that we were able to answer questions for and kind of give them a little bit more clarity on driving an electric vehicle and road tripping in an electric vehicle. There are a lot of misconceptions out there that, you know, you can't take a road trip in an EV. You'll spend hours charging and we were really able to kind of help people understand that that's not always the case. And, road tripping, and especially road tripping on Route 66, is really quite doable in an electric vehicle. And when you're not spending as much money on fuel costs, you've got more money to spend on museums and souvenirs and t-shirts and coffee mugs.
And books by Jim Hinckley.
We might have one of those in the truck right now. Yeah. Like, ooh, I don't recognize this one. I'll get it. Have you signed it when we get back?
Yes, by all means. My signature's not worth much on checks, but I deface books on a regular basis. You know, I find the parallels really fascinating. I was recently gifted a book on motoring in the West, 1901 to 1912. And the parallels between the challenges and the misinformation that motorists faced during that period and what electric vehicle owners face today is really fascinating. We hear so much about infrastructure issues. You know, there's not enough charging and things. And this is identical to what motorists were facing. It was real and perceived problems of motoring, you know, 100 years ago. And it's changing so fast. How many trips have you made along Route 66 now with your Tesla, may I ask?
Oh, I couldn't even count. We go to California and Arizona a lot, probably two or three major trips beyond that. We went to Illinois last year. We went, let's see.
I know we've done at least four, maybe five really good long road trips that are over 1,000 miles in the Tesla. Because we've gone back to Crescent City, my hometown in California, at least twice in the Tesla. And so that's about 1,800 miles round trip. And then we've come out east three times because we did Neon Fest, we did MopCon, and now we've done the AAA Road Fest.
Yeah, so...
Will you be attending the Miles of Possibility conference this year?
Mm-hmm. Whoops.
Will you be attending the Miles of Possibility conference this year?
I'm not sure.
That's going to depend largely upon our regular jobs schedules, basically.
Yeah. Whether we can work in the vacation time.
Don't you just hate it that work interferes with life?
Very much so.
Yes.
Very much so. I do work from home, and a lot of my job could actually be done from the road from pretty much anywhere. All I would need is an internet connection, but it's a matter of actually having that paid time off so that I can actually afford the trip.
Yeah. Well, we get used to eating on a regular basis. That gives us incentive to keep working.
Exactly.
But it does get frustrating. Your website, your electric Route 66 website, I find that you post things as your schedule allows, but I find that website to be just extremely fascinating.
Well, thank you very much. I got into posting up dash cam videos because it was something that nobody else could do in quite the same way, because our car has four cameras on it, and I put the videos together to have four views of driving on Route 66 at the same time. And also it takes less writing to do an article to say as I put up a new video. On this trip, we did a bunch of YouTube videos. I haven't linked them yet on the .com because we're traveling and I don't have time to write up the thing, but Electric Route 66 is also a YouTube channel. And so all those videos are up. I did them live, completely raw when I could. And when I couldn't, I still just kind of recorded them raw and uploaded them when I had enough signal to do so.
But then I love
yes.
the informational portion of that side as well, trying to let people know, you know, you can take a road trip. This is the information you kind of need. And then letting the small businesses know, you know, hey, all you really need to do is one or two small things to attract the electric vehicle drivers, and then they'll come flocking into your doors.
Well, you know, it's adapting. It's I don't have a lot of experience driving or being around electric vehicles. And I know there would be a learning curve. I'm used to driving things like this old 51 Chevy and this old Jeep, and it's a different animal. Just like driving a Model T is totally different from driving, well, my 98 Jeep Cherokee. They're different animals. Mm-hmm. But I think people, they have a tendency to have trouble with change. I think that's one of the biggest obstacles. And you and Mike and Jessica, you have really done a great job educating people and gently nudging them and encouraging them to at least look at this from a rational perspective.
Well, thank you. That's really kind of the whole point of the thing is like, I didn't get into electric vehicles from a high-minded attitude. I wanted to save money. I need a car and I want to spend as little on it as I can. And I spend a lot of money on gas. So, you know, when we needed something around town, when our oldest was driving and going to school and we needed another car to facilitate that stuff, electric was the natural choice because we wasn't going out of town. Short range was fine and it was cheap. And then at the same time, I'm looking at, you know, down the road, our next car. Can we do this with electric and save the money on gas? And the answer was yes. And so we just went ahead and did it. The car itself is a bit of a splurge. That's more money than I spent on a car. We never bought a brand new car before either.
But you have to consider pretty much the only maintenance is changing the washer fluid and the blinker fluid.
Well, yes. And muffler bearings can be a problem.
Yes. I got to check those soon.
You know, I really like the way you do this. You always encourage people to look at the car. You know, I jokingly refer to you folks as EV evangelist. But this is a changing face of travel. You know, it really is. It doesn't matter if we like it or not. The point is things are changing. And we can get a little excited about that. You add with your road trips and your postings, your off-road adventures, you add that sense of excitement and adventure that attracts people's attention to this. And I hope Mr. Musk is listening because he really should be paying you guys.
Well, if he would agree, we would agree. But, you know.
I didn't think he'd argue.
The jobs.
Yeah. How's the trip gone for you? I know there's been a lot of storms through Oklahoma, Missouri, Kansas.
We've largely avoided storms. We've only even just got rained on briefly a couple times. They've kind of run through when we haven't been driving, like overnight or stuff like that. I mean, there hasn't been that much. The car is filthy.
Oh, we've got bugs from many different states all over it now.
Yes, and very we cleaned good. Off for the Road Fest. We, you know, it was on display inside the venue as part of the show. So we cleaned it off pristine for the show, and now it's just like it was on our way in, absolutely covered in stuff. The bugs are more evident than all the water spots.
I've got a couple questions people have asked. Now that you've driven your car quite a lot, battery life, are you seeing any real decrease in range as the batteries age?
It's down about 15%, which, I mean, I follow along in Tesla groups and stuff, and 15% is more than typical. Usually it's 5 to 10%, and that's possibly due to us pushing it hard. We drive it down to under 10 miles sometimes on a trip. We're like, the chart, we'll get there with 10 miles of range left to plug in or have dinner or whatever. And so we'll push it there a lot more than most people do. So the range is about 270 miles now, when originally it was 310. So it's not something that we've had a lot of trouble with.
Right.
It's just a little lower, you know, like when a car gets older and the sure. miles per gallon goes down over time.
Yeah. The other one is, since you live in here in the Southwest, do you find the heat in the summer affects the range more so than like winter?
Honestly, no. Winter affects the range more because using the heater drains the battery power way more than using the air conditioner. Using the air conditioner is just like, you know, powering a compressor, no big deal. But using the heater to generate the heat, excuse me, really can drain the battery power on a vehicle. I mean, it's not going to significantly make it so that you can't take a road trip, but...
In the colder areas, the heat can be a factor. But in the Southwest, the warmer doesn't really have a lot of effect. It's hard to even notice.
It will still kill your 12-volt, though.
Yes. Our car still has a regular 12-volt battery, like any gas car. And, you know, those last about 3 years in the Southwest.
Yeah.
We'll see if it makes it through this summer. I think this is its third summer on the current 12-volt battery.
I was just reading an article, I believe it was Sweden, about 60% of new cars being sold now are electric vehicles.
Oh, yeah. And I think it was like Norway is something like 80 or 90%. You know, and those are very cold climates. I don't think they have as far to drive as we do in the Southwest. So they can use some of that extra range for their heat.
One more question I have here that somebody sent was when it comes time to change, what's the procedure, time wise cost of changing the batteries in a Tesla?
Well, they're on the bottom, so it's not terribly complicated to do, but it's kind of one of those things that we haven't really worried about. The warranty on a battery, on the main battery, is like a powertrain warranty on a car. It's minimum 8 years and 100,000 miles. So it's kind of like, you know, when you buy a gas car, do you worry about what it costs to get a new engine and transmission 8 years from now? It's not really something you think about.
I suppose those questions are asked because it's like, there again, it's different. It's not a gas car. And so people think different. For lack of a better term, ignorance. Ignorance about electric vehicles in general. But of course, as we know, information like you provide, ignorance can be cured. Unfortunately, stupidity, not a damn thing you can do about it.
Well, there is that. But I fully understand the question. And I really think that people... I think it's a valid question, quite honestly. I mean, as Mike said, you don't worry when you're buying a gas car, you know, how much is it going to cost me to replace the engine or the transmission 8 years from now? But at the same time, with an electric car, because it is so new, people are thinking more about that. And I think that electric cars have been around for a while, but they haven't been as popular with the general population for long enough for us to see the real process that's going to come about for changing out a battery in an electric vehicle. I mean, we had the recall with the batteries on the Chevy Bolt. And on that, the cost was, you know, minimal to the Bolt customers because it was all covered under warranty. They just, you know, make an appointment with a Chevy dealer, bring in their Bolt, get a different car to drive for a while, and then come back and pick up their Bolt. My niece went through that with her Bolt, and I think she was using a rental car for a car that was provided by Chevy for her. For like a week maybe. And she just made sure to let them know that when she did get a vehicle from them, she wanted it to be an electric vehicle also, because she didn't want to spend any money on gas. And they accommodated her, and it went quite smoothly. I know for people, when they change out the battery in a Leaf, the process is a little bit different. So I'm sure it's going to be a little bit different also for a Tesla. It'll be different whether your battery is under warranty or whether it's not under warranty. The batteries can be pretty expensive, but then again, so is a new transmission or a new engine for your car. So it's comparable, is what I would say.
Yeah, it's an apples and oranges thing. You know, it's like you said, it's the same thing, just different, basically, whether you replace a transmission or batteries. You mentioned that electric vehicles have been around for quite a while. I've always been puzzled. Electric vehicles have, in the late 1890s, they had electric buses and taxi cabs on the streets of New York. And electric vehicles, in my opinion, have always been practical for urban use. But it's only really recently that we've got to a point where they're relatively practical for actual travel. That is what's new about electric vehicles.
I agree. Yeah.
So how's things on Route 66? Does it look like the businesses are recovering from the apocalypse? COVID sure created havoc out there.
I think so, yeah. There's quite a lot of people out there. We saw lots of foreign travelers. I think Bob Lyle in Texas was telling us that folks aren't spending quite as much on things like souvenirs because they're spending more on gas and overnight stays and things. You know, those kind of costs have gone up. So there's still a little bit of recovery yet to do. But there's a lot of people out there. And oh my goodness, we went to the Big Texan just to get some souvenirs. It wasn't even time to eat. It was so packed, we wanted to get out of there immediately to make room for everyone else.
I
think one of the things that COVID has done is make us all a little bit shy of large groups of people. So... So going into a big place was a little bit scary.
Yeah, we got used to less people around, and there's lots in a lot of places.
Well, you know,
hardly were anywhere that didn't have somebody else there also visiting on any of these places on 66.
COVID didn't change that too much for Judy and I, because we're professional hermits, and we're not fans of big crowds. So, we've always kind of been...
Crowds work us out.
Yeah, I guess with COVID, though, it makes you a little more nervous. I know what you're saying. I go in a restaurant that's really packed, and I start feeling about as anxious, as nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs, and it makes me a little bit edgy. Guys, I want to thank you for doing this, and I want to thank you for, not only promoting Route 66, but also the EV. How's the California Electric, California Historic Route 66 Association? You started, speaking of COVID, you folks started that monthly series of Zoom programs. And I know that that's been, in general, plagued with problems, Zoom in general. But you folks have really turned that into something. A valuable asset to the Route 66 community. And for everybody who's involved with that, congratulations. That's a great project.
You know, Scott, the president of the association, and the other board members have all been really supportive of keeping the Zoom going to keep information flowing about stuff on 66 and in general, and California in particular, just keep encouraging people to go out and do the things that you can do out there. You know, during COVID, there wasn't as much, and now everything is coming back, and there's still lots to talk about every month. So we've been trying to keep it going, and, you know, it's a wide audience you can reach when you're doing a Zoom presentation instead of having, only on-site stuff to give people information about.
Well, your last program is a perfect example. having Marian Pavel from Bratislava, Slovakia, on your program talking about, you know, his endeavors, the Route 66 navigation app, the passport. Yeah, it opens just a wide array of doors. And it's really important because California, there again, just like with electric vehicles, you have real problems and magnified problems through perception. And California gets short shift a lot among Route 66 enthusiasts. And it's one of the more interesting segments of the highway because you have the emptiest stretch of highway out there in the Mojave Desert and probably the most congested stretch in the LA metro area. So you've got such a diverse range of driving conditions with Route 66 in California.
And that's one of the challenges for promoting 66 in California also. You've got the desert areas that have some wonderful things to see, but not a lot of people there who are local to promote them. And then in the busy areas, you've got so many things going on, so much to see and do, that Route 66 is very, very in the background compared to everything else. And so the people, you know, tons of people who can support, but they're supporting other things.
Yeah. And it's a challenge because, like, say, traffic. Well, traffic's been a problem in Southern California since at least World War II. It's just something you learn to deal with. I have trouble in any town with more than three stoplights. But thanks to Scott Piotrowski and others, I've managed to figure out ways to kind of, especially from San Bernardino to downtown L.A., I figured out how to get through that on Route 66 with less traffic problems than I deal with in Kingman. From downtown L.A. to Santa Monica, I haven't quite figured out how to beat the traffic there yet, but yeah, what the hell? It's part of the adventure.
You kind of, you know, shoot for Sunday morning and just deal with whatever happens.
Yeah, that's it. And, you know, you mentioned the small places that there's nobody to promote. You know, Daggett, California is a perfect example. Daggett is just an extremely fascinating town.
There's lots of historical attractions there, you know, just to stop by and take a look at.
One of the ones I've been chasing is a kind of a persistent urban legend, if you will. Well, I guess urban's kind of stretching the point since we're talking about Daggett. But I understand, I do know that the Earp family, Wyatt Earp and whatnot, had ranching activities in that area and also were involved in some of the mining. But what I've not been able to verify is that Mr. Earp apparently ran the faro tables there at the Stone Hotel for a while.
Oh, wow.
But I have been hearing this quite a lot. And so I've been trying to pin down those stories. Jessica, Mike, thank you again for doing this morning. And thanks for what you're doing in general on Route 66 and with the EV evangelism. I know you're probably anxious to get on the road to get home. And are you driving straight through today from Gallup?
Today is about our longest travel day. Gallup to home, we're going to have to hit in one day because of all the stuff we did leading up to today. It's about 450 miles back to our house.
Yeah.
So we were able to take it a lot slower on this trip on most of the days, which we are so thankful for.
But we really want to thank you for having us on the show, Jim. It's really, truly our pleasure to speak to you anytime and to speak to anyone who wants to talk to us about either Route 66 or electric vehicles.
Yeah, we were roadies before we were EV drivers, and we're you know, neck deep in both of those worlds now.
Well, I greatly enjoy the conversation with you two. I never find it shocking, but I do find it electrifying. And so anyway.
That's one of the things on my business cards is electrifying history.
There you go.
Whereas guys, mine has semi-professional heckler.
Well, Jessica, you're still young and semi-professional. I'm sure you can change that soon. With a bit
Thank
more
you.
Practice, I'm sure you'll get very good at that.
Thank you.
I have confidence. guys, thank you. And like I say, travel safe. I noticed you were in Tucumcari, and that happens to be not only one of our favorite places, but of course a sponsor of Jim Hinckley's America. You can find out more about Tucumcari at a visit Tucumcari NM. And that's a town that people notice the neon and they stay at the Roadrunner Lodge. And of course there's the famous Blue Swallow Motel, Motel Safari. But boy, that town, it's got a pulse. It's alive. It's got some vibrancy. And
yeah, we didn't want to leave. We checked out of our room at the Motel Safari, and it was still noon before we managed to actually hit the road. and we still had a pile of things that we didn't even get to. We want to go back there and just spend a couple days just there.
Yeah. I know we're running a little over, but have you ever been to the Dinosaur Museum, Mesa Lands Community College Dinosaur Museum?
No, I saw it there, but the hours weren't conducive on this trip. So it's one of the many things there that we still have yet to go into.
It will surprise you. It's a Smithsonian quality exhibits. It's small, but it is Smithsonian quality exhibits there. And here's something for Route 66 travelers. It's a little late this year, but Mesa Lands Community College that has the Dinosaur Museum also has a paleontology laboratory. And planning ahead for next year, if you want something different for a family adventure on Route 66, they host digs, fossil digs, paleontology digs in the Tucumcari area.
Wow.
That you can participate in. And of course, there's a charge. It's a fundraiser for the college. But talk about a great adventure for a family. Route 66 and go out and dig up some dinosaurs in the desert.
Yeah, that sounds super cool.
Mr. Delvin Harbor was with us today. And of course, Delvin is with the California Route 66 Museum there in Victorville, California. Another highly recommended stop, guys. I jokingly and derisively refer to a lot of my California stops as Needless California, Hysteria, and Victimville. But I hope everybody knows I'm joking because I enjoy all three communities. And one reason I enjoy them is people like Delvin and the folks there at the California Museum.
Yeah, that's a great museum. It's worth a stop.
Guys,
anytime you go through.
You take care and drive careful. We'll talk again soon. Next week, we're going to talk with author Anne Slonina about her Annie Mouse series of books, how she came up with this idea and where she's been going with that and her road trips. So we'll have some fun next week. Guys, thank you for joining us this morning, and we'll do this again next week. Jessica, Mike, you take care and travel safe. We'll see you soon.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Say hello to a new friend on an old road. Take a two-lane trip of memories into mysteries unknown. Come along for the ride. Jim Hinckley's America. Jim Hinckley's America.
Guys, we had a great morning this morning. It's always great to visit with Mike and Jessica. We ran a few minutes late. I don't think anybody minded too much. Next week, like I said, we're going to talk to author Anne Slonina about her Annie Mouse series and her fascinating road trips. Speaking of road trips, if you want a trouble-free, you just want to get in the car and go have a great road trip, take a look at Route Trip USA. They're the bespoke road trip specialist for a grand adventure in the United States or Canada. And I think you'll enjoy that immensely. And if you enjoy juvenile humor and you find yourself on Route 66 or in the Missouri Ozarks, there's no place better to enjoy a good smile-inducing adventure than Uranus, Missouri, near St. Robert. Uranus Fudge Company and General Store always a great, great adventure. And while you're there, well, you might as well spend the night in Cuba. Wagon Wheel Motel, the oldest continuously operated motel on Route 66, is just down the road from Uranus, just a spit and a jump. And my friends, I want to thank you so very much for joining us. And, well, like I say, we'll talk to everybody next week. Adios, mi amigos.